It must be a great time to reach 65 in America. So many people are doing it every day. The aging of the baby boom generation adds up to something like 10,000 people retiring every day in our country. What are they all going to do? Our guest this hour has many, many ideas for them. Robin Ryan is the author of Retirement Reinvention, Make Your Next Act Your Best Act. Robin is a career counselor and the author of 7 books on finding careers. She's a semi-regular guest on national broadcasts ranging from NPR to the Dr. Phil Show. She's also, not surprisingly, a corporate trainer and speaker. Robin Ryan, thanks for joining us today in The Exchange.
Well, it's good to have you, and I'm excited to share some information.
Can we assume that you recommend at least some job-like activity in retirement, being a career counselor?
Absolutely. I see this phase of retirement is kind of the last stage of your career, and we know that 72% of the baby boomers are saying they expect to work in some way, shape, or form. And some of that's going to be volunteer work for sure, and the others really want to do something that's fun, something different. They're done with their day job that they had. They want something that gives them flexibility and the option of doing something and meeting people because, you know, when you retire alone, and it can be a lonely experience.
It can, and so this is a big point. Is that, in fact, I was hearing something this morning about one of our programs on this station later in the day talking about friends at work. And the fact that you miss them when you retire.
Well, you have to think about this. You're leaving all the social connections behind because they're all going to stay at work, and you're not going to be there. So you haven't been home during the day. You haven't cultivated new friends and new acquaintances to do things with you during the day. So you have to really reach out to people. And you have to be a joiner or a starter. That means you're going to join some clubs, you're going to join in some activities, and if you can't find something, like maybe you like books, you know, you start a book club, and you start with your neighbors and your friends and see who wants to be a part of it.
You know, I should say from the outset, this looks like a cheery, upbeat book. It certainly comes with bright colors on the cover and all that, but it apparently comes from a fairly dark time in your own life.
Well, I went through breast cancer, and it was a terribly traumatic experience. For 2 years, I had to close my business down. I saw my secretary die of cancer during that time. Jennifer McCutcheon, who was on my her son was playing hockey with my son. She died of breast cancer during this time. And so, I mean, that changes you. It makes you look at the world differently. You have a different lens, and you say to yourself, you know, we all say, well, I'll retire 5-6 years down the line. Will you be healthy 5 or 6 years down the line? Will you have the ability to do the things you want to do? Have you thought about the fact that, you know, we're going to be healthiest in our 60s, and, you know, we're going to start having a lot more health issues as we get older. But life is finite. It's not guaranteed.
No, it is not. And so it's certainly a cautionary note to people not to think in terms of, like, well, someday I'm going to do X. It's like, well, if you're 70 years old, someday needs to happen fairly soon.
That's right. And that's why I tell people you have to create a bucket list, and you have to think about what are 2 things that if your life ended and you didn't do them, you'd regret it. And then make sure that you put a date on those things in the next year that you're going to accomplish those 2 things.
Robin, there's a concept in the beginning of the book that should give people pause. In fact, I think I turned the page back and went, wow, that's okay, this is a concept. The failed retirement. How do we flunk retirement?
You know, more people fail than you'd be surprised at. They sit home, and they're miserable. They have no plan for retirement, and they're home. They don't know what to do with their time. They feel like I should have kept working. They may have been forced to lay off, or it was a voluntary package. But a lot of professionals, particularly and executives, feel this real loss of identity because they're no longer, you know, making decisions and the mover and the shaker and everything centering around them. So they become depressed and really fail at retirement because you have to have a plan and you have to create a new life for yourself. And that takes time, thought, and effort and trying new things.
So a little advanced planning, it sounds like, is in order, which is why this book is here. So don't just get to retirement day and go, okay, let me think about what tomorrow's going to bring.
Absolutely. You know, if you're a year or two from retirement, you need to be thinking about it. You need to be test driving some new hobbies. You need to be having a plan. Where are you going to live? Are you going to stay in the Oregon area? Are you going to spend the winter in Arizona? Are you going to pack it up and move someplace else? I mean, these are all big decisions, and they require a lot of thought. One cautionary tale, if you retire, do not move in the same year. People who have done that have found it to be tremendously overwhelming and stressful, that just retiring was such a major change in their life, they underestimated what it was going to be like if they did the other. And so in that respect, I want to caution people that if, you know, a move's in your plans, make sure you've retired, you've adjusted to retirement, and then you move.
So don't do what my grandparents did. Basically retire, load the truck, and go to Florida.
That's right. Okay. Too much change.
There's an opening section on retirement myths, and I'm going to have to cut you a little short here, but people don't just work because they need money. They work because they want those connections, it sounds like.
Absolutely. They want to be around other like-minded people. They want to be in an industry that they think is interesting, fun, and enjoyable. And it can be lonely being at home day in and day out. So people get a job for social reasons.
We will talk more about those social reasons and visit with you as well, listening, because maybe you have some retirement stories to share with us. Did you feel a little bobble when you retired? Feel like you were a little purposeless? If so, what did you do to get over it? Join us with your story, along with a question or comment or whatever you'd like to visit with Robin Ryan about. She's the author of Retirement Reinvention. Our phone number, 800-838-3760. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Exchange with Robin and you in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest is Robin Ryan, a career counselor who has written 7 books before the current one about finding careers. This time she focuses on retirement. Her book is called Retirement Reinvention, Make Your Next Act Your Best Act. Let's talk about retirement with you as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, get in here and talk about what worked for you in retirement, what didn't, and what you might still be scratching your head about. 800-838-3760 to join by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Robin, you give the story in here of a person who retired not by choice, and I wonder how common that is getting in our society.
It's kind of the imperative part of companies are saying we have too many baby boomers, we've got too many older workers, we can't promote the younger people, and so they're laying off their more senior people. They may be offering packages so that you're encouraged to retire, because what often happens is this. They will say, we're offering a voluntary retirement package, and there's money attached to it. But if you don't take it, I mean, I heard so many stories of people who said, I didn't take it. I figured, you know, I could work a couple more years. And then 6 months down the line, the company just laid them off, and there was no package attached to it. So some people are being forced out. And that's very hard, because they weren't planning on retiring, and then the next thing you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, they are home with no job and no identity, the friends gone, and no plan.
Is the advice then that if your company offers a voluntary separation, that you take it?
Absolutely, because they may come around and just fire you and not offer you any kind of extra incentive. If you do take it, you need to very quickly go through the book and start thinking about what are some of the activities I'm going to do and start making a plan. You know, a lot of men say, okay, well, I've got a big list of to-dos around the house. But those are going to be done, and then you're going to be sitting there without something to do. So hobbies such as, you know, maybe you like cooking, or maybe you want to go hiking, maybe you want to join a bike riding club. There's a lot of groups out there that you can find out about. So start asking people. Start at the library. They have a lot of resources, and a lot of people go there to learn about the activities in their community.
This is a workbook, and the first homework in here involves thinking of yourself after work. And it makes me wonder if retirees are often surprised by how much they identified with their work and how often it defined them.
Well, for most people, especially professionals and executives, you are defined by your work because you get a lot of satisfaction from it. You get a lot of reward from what you do. You've been successful, and it makes you feel good. When you leave that behind and you tell somebody, oh, I'm retired now, they don't treat you the same way as they did when you say, well, I was an engineer and I worked at such and such place, you know. So you've got to expect it to be different, and you also have to expect to be able to kind of think through, what does that loss of identity mean to me? How will I replace that? You're not going to replace it. You have to decompress from the working you to the retired you. And that bridge may take time. One thing that you should consider is doing some volunteer work. That's going to get you out in the community. It's going to make you feel good about yourself. That's going to be a positive thing.
For the real workaholics, I can imagine there's some real problem throttling back. I mean, does the volunteer work help fill some of that gap for them?
Yeah, the true workaholics that have been totally identified with their job are going to feel a big loss. It's going to be a depressive loss. And so they're the people that I try to reach out to and say, look, at least volunteer. Pick something that you care about and volunteer twice a week. You know, that'll get you out of the house. It'll get you meeting some new people. And it breaks up that whole, I've lost everything. I've lost all my contacts. I've lost my network. I don't really know what to do with myself. And you're kind of wandering around. A lot of those people try to go back to work in 2 years. And no one wants them then. So it can be a real bad cycle if you don't help yourself.
Robin Ryan's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her latest book is called Retirement Reinvention, Make Your Next Act Your Best Act. Here's a call from Peggy in Jacksonville. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm enjoying this subject very much, and I've been retired for over 20 years. And some of what she's already been saying certainly resonates with me. But one thing that I thought of was, you probably already belong to something in your working life. It might be a church or whatever, but you've never had a chance to really get involved. And you can use some of those skills and talents that you had in your work life in any kind of an organization. And through whatever group that and volunteering, they're looking for people with leadership skills or probably the kinds of skills that you have if you were in an executive position. And you can still get the same kind of reward, but in a different way. Instead of getting paid, you're giving back to your community. And I have found that with the Jacksonville Boosters. It's a wonderful organization filled with retirees who have wonderful talents, and so we work together for the community.
All right. Thanks for sharing the story with us, Peggy, and congratulations on 20 years into retirement.
Yes, you're welcome.
Take it easy. So, Robin, thoughts about what you just heard?
Well, I agree with her 100%. You know, your church might be an excellent way for you to get involved with the missions that they have, the committees that they have. Maybe they offer services to people that are elderly in their organization or the disabled, where you're going to drive people to doctor's appointments and offer them some companionship and some friendship. The other places that she mentioned, too, is she joined the Booster Club. There's a lot of clubs and organizations out there. There's Rotary. There's all kinds of different things. You know, there's book clubs. There's organizations that you might already be involved in but maybe haven't donated your time. Now's the time to volunteer. Maybe you should be the membership director, or maybe you should be the treasurer. You know, it's time to go out and say, hey, I want to get involved. I want to do more. I want to give back. I want to make a difference in this important way, and I couldn't do it before, but now I have the time.
We have an email here from Joy and Talent. She says, I agree with the guest, but plans without equal goals of acceptance and happiness seem like a risky exercise. What if your plans don't work out? Then all that's left is a sense of failure. That from Joy and Talent.
You know, I think that you have to set goals and have activities that you want to do that are doable. That means you set ideas and you come up with, like, for example, maybe you want to go and visit New York City, and you don't have any friends that could do that. Maybe you can find a tour group that you could get involved with and you could join. So I think part of it is you know, don't set unrealistic goals, things that couldn't possibly happen, because there's a difference between a goal and a dream. Dreams are fantasies. Goals are things that, you can actually do, you can actually perform. And I also think, too, that making sure that you have social connection, family, friends, a sense of community, that's what makes people feel whole. That's what makes people feel good in retirement. Belonging to something, those are the important things. And you can't fail if you're working on, you know, social connections with and strengthening your relationships with people you know now and the people you're going to meet.
All right, the doable goal, that's a big one. I can hear that one loud and clear. You know, we were talking maybe hiking the Trinity Alps as opposed to trying to climb the tallest peaks on seven continents.
Right.
Attainable things. Robin Ryan's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is Retirement Reinvention, Make Your Next Act Your Best Act. You can join us on the exchange. Maybe you have a story of your own to share about what life was like in the first days of retirement for you. Did you take a vacation and go into the pantry maybe and find yourself facing jars as somebody behind this microphone once did? Join us on the exchange with your story, your questions for Robin, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So when planning retirement, Joy was talking about plans. Should you start with dollars or should you start with values, Robin?
I think you have to start with values. You know, what matters to you? What do you care about? How do you want to make a difference? And so we, you know, what motivates you? Maybe you're looking for adventure. Maybe you want to get involved with advocacy. You care about the environment, and you want to make sure that the open forest remain, you know, free, and the ocean remains clean, the rivers remain clean and pure. So that might be something you want to do. Maybe you want to get involved with somebody's political campaign. Someone is running for school board, and you've decided to help work and go over to their garage corporate headquarters and help them go door to door and tell people about your candidate. There's so many things we can get involved with.
Now, it's really clear at this point in the book, though, that you have to remember there's usually another person involved here. So mm-hmm. Talk to your partner about how you'll spend your days. And I wonder how complicated this gets. I know I've met a few people who said, oh, my God, he was driving me crazy. I made him take up golf.
That's right. Just because you think that you're retired now, remember, you haven't been together with your spouse 24/7 in, you know, day in and day out since ever, because you've been working. And unless you went through a long period of unemployment, you haven't been together where that person has activities. That person may still be working, or if they are home, they have their friends, they have their clubs, they have their activities, and they're not looking to have you tag along. And I think that's the most common thing. I hear from especially a lot of men saying, you know, I saw my wife was really busy and she was doing all these things, and I kept saying, well, can I go with you? And she's like, no, get your own life. You know, so, you know, you got to be prepared. You've got to branch out and make new friends. And that's hard for men. That's why activities such as meetup.com, a good organization where people are getting together and doing things. So you might find a hiking group that way, or you might find people that are just going for coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, so but it's important for you to be able to definitely find other people to do things with and create your own life. You're responsible for your own happiness. Your spouse is not responsible for you to be happy.
Let's go right to the heart of that issue, though, because I've been hearing it a lot lately in a bunch of different realms, and that is the issue of isolation. We don't do well. We're human beings. We're social animals. We need to have other people around. And as we get older in life and friends are dropping away for the obvious reasons, they're either moving away or leaving the earth, you're going to have to find ways to get yourself connected to other people. So you had a couple of ideas there, meetup.com. But what other ways would you recommend for people to reach out, particularly men who, as you point out, are not terribly good at it?
Well, one thing is, like I said before, find a charity. Maybe Habitat for Humanity is something you'd like to work on. Not only do they have jobs pounding nails, but they have leadership positions and leadership roles and ways that you can help there. Maybe you care about animals. Work at the Humane Society. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can start volunteering and getting involved. The other thing, too, is what about a new sport? What about something maybe you haven't done before? Maybe you'd like rowing, or maybe you would like tennis. The thing is, you're not going to play golf every day. You may think you're going to play golf every day, but the body is not going to let you play golf every day. And so you have to have, you know, more than one activity. And I think for men, too, a lot of them look for part-time jobs. In fact, that's how some of them end up being Uber drivers, and they start and they find there's one man I know, his name was Walt. He went and got involved with an organization that was vets that needed help. And so what he did was he went to this vet and he provided companionship. He drove him to doctor's appointments. He drove him to the grocery store, you know, drove him to the dentist. And, you know, the vet would tell everybody, Walt is my best friend. You know, he was so appreciative. And you might make a difference in one person's life, but like Walt did, it was everything to that one person. So there really are a lot of avenues out there. And another thing men do is they get a motorcycle. And they join and they find other men with motorcycles and they start touring around. So there's a lot out there that you can do if you explore it.
Truly. Robin Ryan's book is called Retirement Reinvention. Make your next act your best act. Here's a call from Karen in Humboldt County. Welcome to The Exchange. Karen, go ahead.
Hi. Hi. I just want to let you know that before I was retirement age, right before, I realized the job I had as a biologist, I might not want to be doing it. I had a lot of outside work, and I was up a tree with a chainsaw a lot doing specialty pruning. And anyway, I thought I should try to find a more adult job profession. And so I read in the Wall Street Journal that real estate, one profession where maturity is a plus. And I thought, really? And so I took a bunch of classes. I come from a family of builders. I know a lot about housing. And I thought, I can help first-time buyers get their first home. And I got my real estate license, and since then I've gotten my broker's license. And I have helped first-time buyers get their first home, and it's incredibly rewarding. And my point is, you don't have to just do volunteer work. You can have a second career. I also do volunteer work, but I'm really happy and suited for my second career. And I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm way past retirement age, and I don't see any chance of retiring anytime soon, really. You know,
uh-huh.
I work a few hours a week, and it's more than full-time, and it's incredible. So that's my story.
Karen, thanks for sharing that. Very much appreciated. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Robin, isn't it?
Right. Well, she's not retired, so it's kind of different. She changed careers. She went from being a biologist to becoming a real estate person. If she's working 50 hours a week, that's not retirement. That is a second career. But there are people that do want to do something. Some people want to open a business, Jeff. They're interested in creating something or leaving something behind or selling something, and so they get involved with it. And the fact that they now have access to the Internet where they can sell online through eBay or Etsy, you know, even through Amazon, there's so many ways for us to do a business part-time if we wanted to, or grow it to something that's maybe bigger and sell it. You know, there's just so many options out there.
And if you're not willing to go that far, I mean, there are hobbies, and you know, so if somebody says, I'm too old to try something new, what do you say to them?
Really? You're too old to try something new? Absolutely, that's so wrong. Life is interesting when you try new things and you explore. And if somebody's saying they're too old to try something, they're depressed and they need to get out of that rut, because it's only by trying things. And I'm suggesting that you test drive them. Maybe you decide, oh, well, I'm going to try Mahjong, you know, or I'm going to try yoga, or I'm going to try Tai Chi. Maybe you go to the first couple classes and say to yourself, you know what, this isn't for me. This doesn't resonate with me. I don't like this. Don't keep doing it. Find another activity. Maybe you want to go dancing. Maybe you and your spouse want to, you know, join a dance class. Maybe you want to get in a book club. There's so many options out there. And like I said before, look at the local library. That's a good place to start. They have a lot of pamphlets and brochures and posters telling you about new activities. But don't stay in a rut. It's so easy to get depressed and not help yourself. You got to pull yourself out of it.
And as you point out, TV watching is not a hobby, although this is a place a lot of people gravitate. Avoid the TV, it sounds like you're saying in the book.
Well, just don't make television your whole life. I mean, it's easy to get up in the morning, turn the TV on, plop yourself down, and before you realize it, you know, you've just finished watching Jeopardy. So you've spent the last, you know, 9-10 hours watching television.
Listen to the radio instead. Robin Ryan's our guest on The Exchange. Your book is Retirement Reinvention. Make your next act your best act. No, really, you can do things while you listen to the radio. We'll come back and talk more with Robin. And if you have stories to share with us about your own retirement or some questions for Robin, please join us by phone or email when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking to Robin Ryan, a career counselor who appears on TV and radio a lot, the author of 7 books on finding careers. She focuses her attention on the back end of our career or what we're going to do after we retire. Her book is called Retirement Reinvention. Make your next act your best act. You can join us on The Exchange. We'd love to hear a story from you about what you did about retirement, either are doing now as you plan for retirement or how your life changed afterward and how you rolled with the changes. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Becca in Lane County sent along a note. She says, to me, the single most important factor in a fun retirement is paying off the mortgage. I bought a very modest house in the country that is a different world from where I lived most of my life, so money is not an issue on Social Security. I volunteer with the Humane Society doing dog walking. I read to kids at an elementary school. I'm involved with the garden club, do art, and on and on and on. That from Becca again in Lane County.
Well, I think that's great advice there. You know, the fact that she made sure she could afford her lifestyle, and that's something that a lot of people have to think about. In fact, when you talk to people about retirement, the two things that they think about is the financial, and they think about where will I live, and how will I afford that house or those apartments and whatever, wherever they're going to reside. A lot of people downsize too. They want no mortgage if at all possible. So that's a very common theme, especially if you're trying to live on a low amount of income. You can't have very many expenses going out. So, you know, planning with a financial planner and getting some financial advice so that you're going to feel secure in your retirement, because one of the biggest worries, Jeff, is the fact that people fear they're going to run out of money, mm-hmm. and then what will they do?
Well, all right, so that raises a major question here, because I've even thought about a financial planner myself, and I guess where I get stuck is, like, how much does a financial planner cost?
You know, most of them pay you for the plan, so it's reasonable. You want to be careful. You want to make sure that some of your friends have gone to the planner, that you got a recommendation. You might also try your credit union or your bank. They may offer some free classes and some free programs that you can attend and, you know, get some financial advice. The one thing you don't want to do is be involved with somebody who's trying to sell you annuities or trying to sell you things. You don't need to be buying anything. You need to be just getting good financial advice so that you'll understand how much do I have to spend in retirement and what kind of budget should I be living with.
All right, let's take a call here from Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Ryan, the author of Retirement Reinvention. Hi,
good
Paul.
Morning. Being an older person, this is a great show. I'm getting ready for retirement and am in the process of trying to decide what to do next. And one thing I want to plug shamelessly is Special Olympics. It's the most rewarding program that I've ever been involved with over the years. I'm no longer involved with it because I'm, you know, dealing with all my stuff at home. But the bottom line is, for a retiree, it takes no skill other than love. and it's just great. So I'd like to plug that.
Okay.
And then in my case, I'm going to be retiring on about 80% of my gross income. Am I going to probably, obviously without going through all the other stuff, am I going to probably have to find some kind of a part-time job to fill in the gap, or am I going to be able to find that I can economize enough to get by on that?
That's a great question. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. So, yeah, when you stop buying ties and shoes for work and stuff like that, that's not going to knock out 20% of your expenditures right there. So how do you figure out the ratios there, Robin?
Well, the Money Magazine said there's absolutely no way to honestly predict how much money people are going to spend in retirement. And in fact, sometimes when people retire, especially those in their 60s or late 50s, these people spend more those first 4 or 5 years because they're traveling, they're doing more things. Typically, if we look over your lifespan and say that you make it to, your 80s, you're going to find that in your 80s you've got healthcare expenses, but you're not going out, you're not doing the big travels, you're not doing a lot of the more expensive things at that stage in your life. So, when you're planning, you have to keep in mind, what am I going to be doing? How am I want to spend my money? And then what's the gap? What do I need to do? How much do I need to bring in? Do I need to bring in $500 a month, or do I need to bring in $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month? And from there, look at what do I do or what do I like to do that maybe I could do on a part-time basis. So maybe there's actually what we call a bridge job, where as you're leaving your full-time position, there's something you can do part-time for your company or organization, and that would allow you to work and have more flexibility. And that way you could stay on for maybe another couple more years, giving you some more earning power, and you'd be paid that higher salary too, and it would be part-time and flexible.
And Paul, with that voice, I do recommend something in counter service. I would love to hear a double cappuccino for Jeff.
Yeah, really.
Another call here from Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Ryan.
Just very curious. Years ago, I had an uncle that worked at a little department store, managed it in Boonville, Indiana. And he had chose ahead of time that he would take late retirement at 72 instead of 65. Is that still offered?
In terms of Social Security?
Yes.
It is, and Robin probably knows this better than I do. Go ahead, Robin.
When you turn, depending on the age of the person, some of the baby boomers are now going to not be able to be eligible for Social Security until they're like in their 66 or 67, because the Congress actually moved it back. If you keep your money in till 70, you do get a higher return. So 72 is not the magic number, though. 70 is the magic number now.
Right, I noticed that. 32% more, I think, than you get at 60. Yeah,
and so it's your choice, but you can start taking your Social Security in your 60s and still earn money. Depending on the age, sometimes it goes down after a certain age. It doesn't have an impact on it.
Let me ask you, though, because there is something very specific in the book, a warning about figuring your Social Security income with Medicare.
Absolutely. What people don't realize is that the government takes your Medicare portion, the contribution that you have to pay for Medicare, out of your Social Security check. So if you look at the numbers that the Social Security office sends you and you see, oh, I'm going to get $1,200 a month, you're not going to net $1,200 a month. Depending on what the cost is for the Medicare, you're probably going to net somewhere in the $900 a month category. And so that's really an important thing, because a lot of people misplan and then they're very surprised that the numbers don't work the way they thought they were going to.
Okay, that's a big one, sure, especially when you're looking at potentially holding out and not taking your Social Security until 70 to get the additional bump that'll largely cover, I would think, your Medicare premium there.
Mm-hmm.
An email here from John, no location. He says, this will sound weird, but after a lifetime of being careful with money, I can and should spend more now. I'm not rich, but after many years of being in the saving mode, both my wife and I and our friends, not all, need to break the frugality for the sake of frugality habit. He adds a P.S. I upped my sustainer amount to JPR this year.
You know, he makes a really good point, because it's hard to go from a person who's a saver to being a spender. And a lot of people for the first year or two feel very uncomfortable spending their savings. They start realizing, I'm spending what I saved, you know. It's a mindset change, and this is what you have saved for so that you're able to do this. And keep in mind, that's really important. So, and being frugal, there's nothing wrong with that, but spend the money for the things you want. If you really want to spend Christmas with the family and you have to fly someplace, at Christmas time is the most expensive time of the year to fly, go anyway, because you're looking for a memory that you're not going to be able to recapture if you miss it.
And then another email here from Phil, dating back to what we were talking about earlier about older workers that some companies feel are clogging up the ranks and not allowing the younger people to move up. It says, earlier it was stated that companies lay off older workers because younger workers are cheaper. I am shocked that that seemed to be accepted in quotes. Phil says, but that is discrimination of a protected class and illegal. Thanks, Phil from Ashland.
It's not illegal if they offer these volunteer retirement programs. And what they do is they go in and they actually reclassify the jobs and lower the level of the workers, and then they can lay off that top level of worker. So they're not protected in that respect. I wrote a book called Over 40 and You're Hired. I know all about age discrimination. And let's put it this way. If a company wants you gone, they're going to figure out a way to make that happen. You know, they can make your life so miserable that you won't come to work anymore. So if they've decided it's time for the older population to leave and let's promote our younger people, we want to do more with less expense, because the seniors people are very expensive, and oftentimes they can let somebody, one older person, go and hire two younger people. So there's a lot of incentive on the company's part to figure out ways to, unfortunately, let the baby boomer population go.
Oh, so get rid of the expensive person with the title of manager and hire two coordinators at three-quarters of the salary or less.
Correct.
Okay, I get it. And that whole thing about making people miserable, that used to be called firing by process. Is that still happening a lot, where you take away people's duties and they get them so bored they finally leave?
You know, they don't do it as much. They go through and offer voluntary retirement, see if people will go that way. The other thing that happens is what they tend to do now is you get a new boss, and the new boss is very unhappy with the quality of your work, and they start giving you assignments. Like, for example, I know one person was saying that the new boss gave her the budget, and she wasn't really good with numbers, and she was slow, and the boss was all over her. And within 3 months, she'd had two performance write-ups, and, you know, by 4 months later, they fired her. And they said it was for cause, that she couldn't do the job. And so, I mean, there's some pretty unsavory ways, but they're legal, that they can do. If they want you gone, they will get you out of there. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen.
Wow. So there's a point in the book where you make a transition from talking about the money and job concerns to the obstacles in retirement. And fear goes on, the obstacles and fear go on for several pages. So it sounds like it's fairly common that people do find a fair number of bumps after they first get out of the working world, the daily working world.
You know, the biggest fear is, what will I do with my time? And that's the elephant in the room, really. So that is the first thing. But some of the other obstacles people worry about is, will I have to be a caregiver 24/7? Maybe you have elderly parents. Does this mean now if you're not working, you're the one that's got to go over and take care of mom and dad every day and drive them to all their appointments and buy their groceries? And so that's something people worry about. Another thing they worry about, too, is, do your children see, oh, grandma or grandpa's retired, so they can be our cheap, free babysitter and, you know, drive you around to all your activities and, you know, be the daycare for us. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that you have to contend with. And part of it is also knowing yourself. What's going to make you happy? You know, we're talking about a meaningful retirement, something that you enjoy, that you're busy because you want to be busy, but you've thrown away the alarm clock, so you don't have to get up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning anymore. Thinking about what makes you happy, what's meaningful to you, what kind of like-minded people do you want to be around. These are the types of things we have to think about and do a little soul searching, do some investigation, and create a plan that really makes us say, this is going to be a good retirement for me.
And let me point out again, there are workbook sections of this book that let people figure out what they write, jot some ideas down, come up with some plans so that you don't just enter retirement going, well, what am I going to do now? So you get there prepared. I want to add a final question here before we have to go, Robin, and that is about, we talked about social connection and the need to not isolate and stay around other people. And I wonder if you have any particular ideas about finding multi-generational events, because we do tend so often in society to segregate by age.
Absolutely. You want friends at different ages. There's a lot to be learned by them from you. You've got a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience, and younger people keep you active. They keep your mind going. They keep you thinking. So you want to be in groups that it's a mix of people. You know, maybe there's people that are older than you, but there's also people younger than you. And maybe they have children, and they could, you know, you can offer some advice about what you did when you had that problem with your own children or your grandchildren. There's a lot of ways that there's a benefit to being in groups that have people of all ages.
The book is just packed with information, and some of it will surprise you. It's called Retirement Reinvention, Make Your Next Act Your Best Act. It's by Robin Ryan, a career counselor with several books under her belt. Robin, thanks so much for joining us today.